Our psalm for today, our scripture for today is Psalm 48. Psalm 48. A wonderful psalm, a psalm of praise, a psalm of trust, a psalm that should be well known to us or should become well known to us. Let's stand as I read it, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 14. 1 and 14 have a lot in common, beginning and ending with God's praise. Hear God's word, his infallible, inerrant, his holy, inspired word. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. God, in her palaces, has made himself known as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves, they passed by together, they saw it. Then they were amazed, they were terrified, they fled in alarm, panic seized them there, anguish as of a woman in childbirth. With the east wind you break the ships of Tarshish. As we have seen, so as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish her forever. Selah. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces that you may tell it to the next generation. For such is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. Heavenly Father, use these words by the power of your Spirit to build up our faith, to teach us what we should know about you and how we should live before you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 48. Let's begin with sort of a library quiz. Two books. What are their names and who wrote them? What great book begins with these words? Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is thy power and thy wisdom infinite. And thee would man praise, man but a particle of thy creation, man that bears about him his mortality, the witness of his sin. The witness that thou resistest the proud, yet would man praise thee, he but a particle of thy creation. Think about it. Who wrote that and what's the name of the book? And secondly, what book begins with these words? The glorious city of God is my theme in this work, which you, my dearest son Marcellinus, suggested, and which is due to you by my promise. I have undertaken its defense against those who prefer their own gods to the founder of this city, a city surpassingly glorious, whether we view it as it still lives by faith in the fleeting course of time, or sojourns as a stranger in the midst of the ungodly, or as it shall dwell in the fixed stability of the eternal seat, which it now with patience waits for, expecting until, quote, righteousness shall return unto judgment, and it obtain by virtue of its excellence final victory and perfect peace. Now, those are a lot of big words. The whole message that I'll be presenting today is actually in those words from this. I'll give you some hints. Not really asking you to call it out. I'm sure Dave knows the answer. Anyway, it's by the same man, two books by the same man. The first book, the one that starts out, Great Art Thou, O Lord, and Greatly to be Praised, was recommended by our pastor, Jack Miller, in seminary, that we should read that book once a year. And the other one, the title is right in the first thing I said there. This is a man writing two books 1,600 years ago. His name is Augustine. And the first one is his Confessions. And the second one is the City of God. And both of them, he got the impetus for both of them from Psalm 48. It is amazing. Psalm 48. let's concentrate on it. If you are going to shade in or color in the children's challenge page there, I couldn't find Psalm 48. So I have Psalm 145, which we also referred to as in part of the service. Mr. Andron didn't have one for Psalm 48, but he did for one Psalm 145. So he's gotten something on his web page now that you can click on something and give him $2 per sketch. So that's what we did. So we got this for $2. So enjoy. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I hope that children and adults, that all of us would be able to begin praise in our personal prayers and in family prayers with great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For those of you who attended prayer meeting for a long time, you probably know that our friend, our beloved friend John Hunter, often began his praise. And any time I would say, okay, John, would you start us off with praise? Every time then, he started with Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. What does Psalm 48 teach? As we read and sing it, what convictions does it develop in our minds, our hearts, and our souls? Well, I'm going to summarize it with some C's. Some C's. This psalm is about the city of God. That begins with a C. So we begin by asking a very important question. What is that? Then secondly, the city of God is established upon the covenant. There's another C. The covenant of grace. City, covenant. The city of the covenant of grace is the place of communion between God and man. City, covenant, and communion. The covenant communion between God and man in the city of God is not designed to remain there within the walls of that city. It is meant to be communicated, there's another see, to the whole earth, shared with the whole world. City, covenant, communion with God, and communication with the world. City, the city of God. Psalm 46 talked about confidence in the presence of the Lord in times of trouble. Psalm 48 recounts and rejoices in the victory of the Lord over trouble. Now, I don't know how many of us learned or memorized Veni, Vidi, Vinci, or Vicky, or as I was taught in Chester, you're supposed to pronounce it with a W, Weenie, Weedy, Wiki. And most of you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But it is something that Julius Caesar said, I came, I saw, I conquered. Psalm 48, in Psalm 48, most of the old commentators refer to that. And several of them would talk about the defeat of the invincible Spanish Armada in 1588. Psalm 48 talks, it changes from Julius Caesar. When the enemies of God approach the church, they do not say, I came, I saw, I conquered. That doesn't happen. Psalm 48 basically says, the enemies of the church gather together. We've talked about this repeatedly as we go through the Psalms. They gather together. They are opposed to the church. They are opposed to the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are opposed to God. But what they say is, I came, I saw, you saw that in Psalm 48, and I fled in terror. Such is our God. Such is our God who dwells within us in the city of God here in the church. It is like the missionary John Patton. I keep going back to him as well and thinking about how one night he was in his house, and the house was made of very flammable material, and the church was made of flammable material, and there was a walkway that connected it, and all of that was flammable material, and the natives had come and set fire to the church, and the wind was blowing the fire toward the house, and there was no way out. And then this huge wind came in from the sea and blew the fire in the opposite direction, back to the church, which had burned down. And then a torrential rain came and he was saved. Those natives intended to kill him that night. But that's the way it is in the Bible over and over and over. That's the way it is in our lives. That's the way it is in the church of Jesus Christ all the time. Some people spend all their time trying to figure out about Psalm 48. When did this occur? Did it occur, as we've mentioned before, possibilities, Hezekiah's day, Jehoshaphat's day? When should it? Well, we don't know. And the ships of Tarshish certainly don't get to go up to the gates of Jerusalem. It's a bigger picture, much bigger picture than that. And it's over and over again. Perhaps G. Campbell Morgan summarized it best when he said, "We may seem to have lost something in the reading of this Psalm 48 because we cannot place it historically with any certainty. Yet it is so true to a constantly recurring experience of the saints," that is, believers, "that it has become a song of constant use, and so we should use it." He doesn't say that. I added that. "Threatening perils amassed against us." Now, this is a good description. "Threatening perils amassed against us suddenly waver and pass away, smitten by unseen hands. And deliverance is wrought when we have seen nothing, when we have seen nothing but destruction. Very great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised as the God of deliverance." Psalm 46 certainly speaks about the city of Jerusalem, the one that was founded with walls and had the temple, the tent, and then the temple within it. But the praise is not because of the walls. Well, praise the Lord that they were built the first time, and praise the Lord for Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild it. Praise the Lord for Zerubbabel and High Priest Joshua. Praise the Lord for the Lord's protection of those walls for a certain period of time. But when it says go through the city, it's not just talking about the ramparts of Jerusalem, which you can't find anymore. You find very little. The Wailing Wall is all we have left. When you go through Psalm 48, you're not focusing primarily on the buildings or the wall of Jerusalem, but on God who dwells there. So what is Mount Zion? What is Jerusalem now? It is us. It is the city of God here on earth. And this is not a new idea. I use hymnary to get words to hymns. H-Y-M-N-A-R-Y, and probably .org or something like that. When you look up Zion, I looked up the three texts that I wanted to use particularly. And then I looked down to see how many other texts I could look up with regard to hymns that talk about Zion, referring to the church, either still here on earth or in glory. 11,093 references in Christian hymns. It's amazing. This is not a Zionist movement. This is not talking about let's go back and let's rebuild the temple, let's find some sacrifices, let's rebuild the altar. No, Jesus is the sacrifice once for all. We don't go back there. We are Zion. We are the new Jerusalem. This is about the church of Jesus Christ. It's about Filbert PCA. It's about the rest of the body of Christ. It's talking about God's protection of Union Baptist Church. It's talking about God's protection of Kings Mountain Chapel United Methodist Church. It's talking about God in the midst of His people in a prayer meeting of two or three gathered together. Such is our God, Psalm 48 says. You probably have heard some of these. O Zion, haste thy mission high fulfilling, by Marianne Thompson in 868. We're marching to Zion. We're marching to Zion. Isaac Watts, 1662. And a favorite for us here. We will feast in the house of Zion. Sandra McCracken, 2015. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Samuel Hinman, 1951. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand, dear as the apple of thy eye, and graven on thy hand. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven. These hymn writers understood that you look at Psalm 48 and you sing about Jerusalem, you sing about Mount Zion, Mount Moriah, the temple of God, and they understand you're talking about us, the church militants, still fighting, still going through the wilderness down here, and the Aline Mitchells and the Isabel Bryants and all those who've gone before us in the church triumphant. That's what Psalm 48 is about. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. John Newton, 1779. One of my favorite verses in any hymn is the third verse. Well, I don't know how he wrote it, but I've got it as the third verse. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. You know that as I drive through our communities, and I know this is a Christian family here, and this is a Christian family here, and here is a believing, God-loving widow there, as we go through. I never have seen the pillar of fire and cloud, but I know it's there. And I know the angels are surrounding it. I know the Lord is encamping. And it's not because of the person itself. It's certainly not because of bricks and mortar and wood and whatever it is that the house is made out of. It's because the Lord is there. And that's what Psalm 48 is saying. Zion, city of our God. Look at verse 9. We have thought on your loving kindness, O God. That loving kindness is the chesed word. It is the word of covenant faithfulness. This is a matter of the Lord's covenant with us. Psalm 63 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee, I will bless thee as long as I live. Revelation 21 is a statement of that covenant. I will be his God and he will be my son. I've read that in two funerals just recently. There's the covenant going all the way to the end and through the end. It's the simplest form of the covenant. I will be your God. And you'll be my man, you'll be my woman, you'll be my daughter, you'll be my son. It's like the marriage covenant. So within the city of God, you have this covenant relationship where Jesus has said, I will be your husband. We ask those questions. Will you have this woman to be your wife? Will you have this man to be your husband? That is a covenant like the covenant of grace. He is our king. He is our bridegroom. Revelation 21 says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. Do you see what the covenant is all bound up in Jesus? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's all about the covenant of grace. It's a free gift. The city of our God. Zion, his holy mountain, the city of the great king. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about the covenant of grace sealed with his blood. Yes, there is a foreshadowing, a copy, a shade of the real thing in the Jerusalem of King David, the Jerusalem of King Hezekiah, the Jerusalem of King Josiah, the tent, the temple that were there for worship. But this is about the church, beloved, Old Testament, New Testament, and in heaven. And within the body here, within this covenant relationship, then there is fellowship within the spiritual walls of this spiritual temple. What makes the difference? It's the presence of Christ. And y'all realize this. I mean, the church is not the church because we've got these walls and this place is dedicated to the glory of God. It's not the sanctuary over there. It's the presence of Christ who is with the church wherever they are, wherever we are. Emmanuel, God with her, God with us. Look at verse 3. God in her palaces has made himself known. You know, when you get to verse 5, when it says they saw it, the it is not really there. And you have to figure out how you're going to translate it in English. And I think putting it in there is probably a pretty good idea. But I don't think the kings looked and saw, oh no, there are 52 parapets there. Oh no, look at the thick walls of Jerusalem. I don't think we can conquer this. I don't think that's what they saw. See, verse 3 says, God in her palaces has made himself known as a stronghold. It's not the walls that were built that were the stronghold. For lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together. It's like, we're going to capture this place. We're going to destroy this place. They saw. What did they see? What did the natives see? Later, when they were going to kill John Patton, they saw shining men that John Patton didn't see. What did they see? They didn't see John Patton as a strong man who would destroy all them if they all attacked him at once. They saw the presence of God. Whether they saw it literally or not, I don't know. But they saw and they fled in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. God is in the midst of her, Psalm 46 said. Psalm 48, verse 8 says, in the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. You go through there over and over again, himself, God himself. Then you have the city of God. You have the covenant commitment that Christ has committed himself to us. And then he communes with us. And we may say, this is great. Here we are. We're gathered. We have the promises. Let's keep it to ourselves. That's not in the Bible. That's not in Psalm 48. Look at verse 2. Beautiful in elevation. The joy of all those who are hidden together in it. No. The joy of the whole earth. You might be able to look up online. There's a sermon on Psalm 48 by Wayne Rogers' brother-in-law. Wayne Rogers and Joe Moorcraft married sisters. This is Joe Moorcraft preaching in 2009. And he talks about how he and Becky, Judy's sister, approached Jerusalem on a tour bus. And they said they started singing, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, sort of get you up and ready. Yeah, and then they came out, and then they could see Jerusalem up on this, you know, 800-foot high plateau. And it was just beautiful. Of course, the tour guide was, you know, arranging all this. But Jerusalem was beautiful there physically with the Islamic temple right there on it at this spot where we're talking about. But this is talking about the church. The church is beautiful in elevation. Beautiful. The joy of the whole earth. Verse 5. When they saw it, then they were amazed. Those who are not yet part of the church were amazed. Verse 10. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. And where do the ends of the earth begin? Do they begin at our doorstep? No, they begin in our homes. They begin with teaching our children, teaching our families, explaining that Jesus is here with us. And that's why our home is blessed. It's not because we have a security system. I'm not saying security systems are bad. I'm not saying cameras are bad and lights and alarms and all sorts of things. But your home is not special because you've got a lot of armor thrown up. It's because Jesus lives there. And that's what it says in verse 13. Consider her rampart. And isn't it beautiful? let's walk about Zion, verse 12. Go around her, count her towers. What does that mean? That means think about this person who got through this trial. Think about this person who was attacked. This ninth grader who was attacked in English class in school. This freshman who was attacked in freshman English in college. This family who was attacked by evil neighbors or people who spread rumors or things that happened on the internet, and see how they stood for God. That's what we do. We go around and look and say, look at the church. Look at how faithful Jesus is to this individual as they went through treatments. To this individual, as they heard the call to go to the mission field. To this individual, whose voice was healed. To this individual, who went through such suffering and said in her last breath, praise be to God. That's the ramparts. That's what you look at. I don't go around looking and say, what a beautiful steeple we have. I'm so glad we have these beautiful windows. Look at this wonderful pulpit. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the church. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider her ramparts. Go through her palaces. Why? So that the world mission starts right here, that you may tell it to the next generation. As we have heard, so we have seen. That reminds me of the friends, or at least the acquaintances, of the woman at the well in John 4. The woman at the well told him, he told me all the things I've done that got their attention. And then they said, we came to you because of what she said, but now we believe because we've seen you. As we have seen, so as we have heard, so we have seen. For such is our God. God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us until death. It's the covenant. It's communion. It's enjoyed in the city of God. It's commanded to be communicated to the whole world, and if you want to use another C, to the cosmos. But it's really the earth and the world. It's start here where you know the presence of God and send it to the four corners of the world. Got the four part? To the eight cardinals and ordinal parts of the compass. Got that? Four and eight, 48. Psalm 48. Start with the presence of God here. Don't brag about any things. Brag, boast about God, about the Savior. Enjoy that communion of the covenant-keeping Christ in the midst of the city of God, which is where you live here on earth, and recognize that that experience, that truth is commanded to be shared with the cosmos. Four corners. Eight directions. Psalm 48. Take the good news everywhere you go.